And welcome to In-Game Chat for whatever day it is. It's a Saturday, September the 14th, 2019, Season 13, Episode number 33. I'm Scott.
I'm RJ.
I'm Nathan.
And I'm Matt.
Yeah, I think you are. If you'd like to get in touch with us, our phone number is 334-272-9228. 334-272-9228 is the number. Check out InGameChat.net for all the links to get in touch with us. You can find us on Twitter at InGameChat. You can also find us on Facebook, same place as well. You can email us, everyone at InGameChat.net. We're streaming right now on Twitch. Go to Twitch.tv, and you can search in the little search bar, say InGameChat, and you can find us. And watch us live while we broadcast here in the studio with a full house.
You can see our beautiful radio faces.
That's exactly right. So welcome to the program, everyone. Get that out of the way.
Action.
Ninja sniper. Action. So there's a lot to talk about today. We're going to talk about a bunch of stuff. We didn't finish it last week? We didn't finish the PAX conversation. Not that there was much left, but we didn't finish the PAX conversation. Didn't hit any news articles from last week. Not that we need to. I'd have to go through and look and see if there was any worthy. We got news this week. We've got an interview coming up at top of the hour. In the top of the second hour, we have an interview coming up.
We should just do the episode Macho Man Talk.
With a developer from Flight School Studios.
Who did the action sort of dungeon crawling pinball game.
Yeah, Creature in the Well is the name of it. We should probably know the name of the game the guy that's going to be calling in.
Yes.
I should anyway, at least. Creature in the Well, Bowden Sayre is his name.
What was it?
Bowden Sayre.
Yes. Good job.
And he's going to be calling
Matt,
in.
Just say, hey, sir.
I believe he goes by Bo. So we're going to be talking with him about Creature in the Well, which I played a bit of this morning.
Yeah.
See, that's the other thing that we haven't gone over is what we've all been playing. Matt, I got to get your thoughts on Control. Please tell me you played it.
I played it.
Okay, good. Get your thoughts on Control.
It's got some Alan Wake-y references, because it's in that Alan Wake universe, which I like. Alan Wake. And
we'll get to that.
Yeah.
We've also got...
I thought you were doing that now.
No. RJ, I think, are you playing Borderlands 3?
No.
Okay.
I am.
So you are?
Yes.
On PC?
Yes.
Oh, man, I've heard some issues on that thing.
I haven't had any.
Did you get it free, or did you pick it up?
I picked it up.
Okay. I was wondering.
Were they giving it out free?
No. I didn't know because your graphics card and everything.
No,
that's how you got
the
Control.
Yes, that's how I got Control.
And I wasn't sure.
I would have happily traded Youngblood for Borderlands 3. Mm. Happily.
Youngblood. Oh, that. Yeah.
Exactly.
And when you say issues, are we talking about that Batman Arkham level issue?
Man, I haven't looked at him yet. I just know that it has a lot of PC issues.
I'm not having any.
And I don't mean politically correct. It's like a lot of the issues are
zero.
On PC.
I see what you did.
A lot of performance issues, I guess, is what they're getting at. And of course, the only place you can play that is the Epic Games Store, which I guess is it your first Is that your first purchase on the EGS?
Not including free games.
Oh, not including free games?
Free games aren't a purchase. That's my thought.
No, I agree.
That's my philosophy.
I'm trying to remember if Shadow Company, was that free?
That was free.
Oh, then yes.
Shadow Complex?
Yeah, Shadow Complex.
That was free.
Then yes.
Mm-hmm. The reason I know it's free is because I own it, and there's no way.
And that was the one that was like my very first EGS game. My library is getting bigger by the week.
But Borderlands 3 is the first one you've sent money to them to buy.
It is.
Okay. Big milestone there. We have Nate back after a few weeks, so haven't talked to him about what he's been playing. World of Warcraft. I've got
classic?
My little story to tell.
Oh.
About my account being hacked.
Yeah.
That was a fun thing to go through.
Or maybe just move to China.
Spigot's on the, he's not on the phone, but he's in the chat room.
Hey,
and I know
Spigot.
That we wanted to get him in because, you know, a lot of indie games to talk about. So I don't know how much we're going to get around to today, but let's just jump right into it. I'm going to start with...
Destiny.
No. I'm not even going to start with me. I'm not going to start with Nate. I'm going to start with you because you've played so far two games that have just recently released.
And a third that is older.
And I can't really count WoW as being recently released. I know it's classic or whatever. So
I wouldn't count it either.
It's WoW.
It's
folks.
WoW. Mm-hmm.
Yes. I wouldn't count it.
Hey, tell us about WoW. 14 years ago.
Yeah. Back in 2004, you know.
Back when I was 15.
All right. Go ahead. Which one you want to hit up first?
How about the one I played last night?
Well, I don't know what you played last night.
So Kevin and I both picked up Arma 3.
Oh.
Right?
I was expecting something fun to talk about.
Okay. I just wasn't expecting that direction.
And, Kevin's my boy.
Have you ever played Arma?
No.
Oh, okay.
He's my boy, and so like when he's like, hey, let's do multiplayer, I'm like, sure, let's do multiplayer. It's
Rainbow Six of Rainbow Six.
Man, it is.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, okay, so can I use a controller on it? He's like, yeah, you can use a controller on it. So I get in there. I'm doing the tutorial, and I'm like, I'm just throwing the controller away because there's no point because there's so many key bindings just for this one game. Left alt click, backspace to pull out this one thing. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. So it's interesting. He's enjoying it more than I am. Not to say that I'm not enjoying it. It's just... Kevin and his Sims.
Are you guys playing regular or modded?
Regular.
Okay.
We bought the Apex edition. It was on sale for under 20. It was super cheap. So I'm like, all right, this will hold us over until Wildlands comes out in October.
While you're talking about Arma, I'm going to play my Switch because this is going to bore me to death.
Or you could get the phone.
My only thing was going to say there's a really fun mod.
Now, mods
DayZ?
Make it fun, yeah.
No, not DayZ. It's designed where it's 1 to 4 people.
Okay.
And you basically are trying to make it out of the island. And the island has... The island's flooding.
Really?
The island has random tornadoes, has meteorites. And then you're trying to find...
It sounds like Just Cause 4.
Kinda. And you're trying to find the last helicopter and make it out alive. And then
you
get to the helicopter. There's also enemies trying to get to that helicopter as well. So you have to fight them while you're... fighting the environment. There's other mods like that's real fun. It's 1 or 2 players.
Arma's interesting. I mean, Kevin's really big into Sims, and so also I did reinstall DCS World. And
did you guys ever play PUBG?
Yeah, we played PUBG.
Did you gather?
Yeah.
Okay.
With James, even.
Okay.
Briefly. But, so he's big into the more Sim stuff. I think I tend to go more arcade.
Yeah.
Especially with, the shooters. So, for me, Wildlands, I like that. That was, a really good one for me. Where, he enjoys more of the tactical, military, whatever. I'm like, I get that enough as it is. I don't need to...
The only thing Arma makes me do is wish America's Army was still a thing.
Oh, I remember that.
The old yes, original American Army.
Yeah, I remember that. We actually had to do, sports when you're,
And you had to go
clearing your weapon.
Go through boot camp to play the game online.
Yeah.
That was cool.
Oh, jeez. But so played Arma 3, briefly just doing a couple of missions. I'm having a good time in it. I don't want to sound like I'm not enjoying it, especially if Kevin's listening. And, I'm enjoying it. But it makes me want Ghost Recon more.
But it's a game that's funner with more people.
I can imagine. Last night we played with some random guy Flinks, I think his name was. He just popped into it because we're just trying to, you know, I'm just trying to figure it out because I've never played it before. Mm-hmm. And so he's like, so do you have all your key bindings? I'm like, no, I don't. I don't know what keys I need to bind because I've never done this before. You know, so it'd be one thing if I knew, like, hey, I'm going to use this, I need this, or whatever. But just, like, going into a game blank, I'm like, I'm going to see what they tell me is the default. And if I like that, I'll keep it. If not, then I'll change it. But, like, I've never played this, so I don't know what I need. So we played it last night, did a couple of missions, and it was pretty good. Died, you know, a bit because it's not forgiving. You know, but, hey, that's half the fun.
If you ever want any Arma mod ideas, watch Soviet Womble.
Okay. So did Arma. Then Control. I got Control free.
All right, yeah.
So
now I'm interested.
Now you're interested.
Yeah, now I'm interested. Although I think my Switch is bad. So but yeah, go ahead.
You got to listen the whole time.
Yeah, this is how we feel like when he talks about Destiny for half an hour.
Arma's just not my thing, man. Arma's just...
Yeah. Whew. It's different. So got Control, and I'm enjoying it. It's definitely a Remedy game, you know. It feels, you know, like Alan Wake in a way, or a little like original Max Payne-y, you know, before 3, you know. So it's weird, as you would expect with a Remedy game. But, you know, there's like references to Alan Wake in it. The gunplay's, you know, it's a little floaty at times, but I'm getting used to it. Mm-hmm. Your gun's like modular and spatial, where it like, you know, has parts that like float around, and it's a weird game, but it's cool.
So what's the quirk about Control?
Well, just I mean, Remedy games. It's pretty, like, you played Alan Wake, right?
No.
Okay.
But you've about heard enough about it the way you and others here have talked about it. See, when I say quirk, I mean like for Max Payne, you got the bullet time. And,
okay.
Alan Wake, you got that. Those
the light and everything.
Weird, light effects, creatures and whatnot.
For this one, it's more you have psychic powers, mm-hmm. and you could float. You know, eventually you get to a place where you can like actually like Super Saiyan, I guess. Mm-hmm. You know, like just sort of like gravity is not really a thing, so you kind of like you could float up. And there's like people floating in the air when you get into an area and stuff. I'm still kind of relatively. New in it. Oh man, I want to talk about Control. Then talk, Spigot. Yeah.
Well, I'll bring him on here in a minute.
Well, then bring him. Since we're talking,
let's talk.
There's Brock.
There we go. Hey, Brock.
Hi, guys.
Hey, man. We're talking about Control, but
isn't
Matt,
it's fun. I'm just not good at describing.
Oh, okay. Well, then Spigot, you want to give your shot at describing?
Sure. It's like if Max Payne was based on the... Do any of you guys know about the SCP wiki?
Stone Temple Pilots? Sure.
That's what I was thinking.
No, not SCP. SCP.
Oh, SC... Oh, yeah. SCP? Yes.
Yeah, like the Secure Contain Protect.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's basically like, instead of it being based on noir, it's based on that.
Yeah.
So it's very much like a lot of the lore you find in the game is almost taken from that style where half of things are redacted.
Yes.
You know, it's very...
But that adds to it.
Yeah, which is exactly it, because you're trying to fill in the blanks with what has been redacted from all this information that you find. You know, you're going around this weird building that shifts and mm-hmm. changes, like reality's warping around you as you go. And everything that you find... It's like you find a stapler, but maybe that stapler will make your head explode if you look at it wrong, kind of thing like that.
Sounds like Prey.
Well, and like I remember the first time I really noticed it was when you go into the office of I guess the director.
Yep.
And everything, and then like, oh, you see his picture, then next thing you know, the picture changes.
Yep.
And I'm like, oh, okay, well that's all right. That's different.
Yeah. So it's very. So you're not very far into it yet, Matt?
No, not too terribly far, but okay. I'm enjoying what I am. You know,
you're playing it on the PC. Brock, where are you playing it at?
I'm playing on PS4.
Okay. PS4 or PS4 Pro?
PS4. Okay. I got my old launch system here.
I haven't heard good... Well, the patch, I think, improved things, though, didn't it?
It's definitely not chugging as much as it did. There were definitely times where, if you're in an intense firefight or a boss battle, it would just slow to a slideshow on the PS4, at least my not pro. But it's definitely running a little smoother now, and sometimes that kind of helps because I could get a better bead on things.
Yeah,
but yeah, it's sort of like unintentional bullet time. But it's really good. It is not perfect by a long shot, and especially the little cutscenes where the main character is talking, it's not great. But the sort of the story, as opposed, I guess, or maybe the plot. I don't know, whatever it is, not the stuff that's happening with your main character, but the lore and the world that they built is really neat, and I love it. So, you know, and then as you get more powers as you go along, that really opens up what you can do in the game, too, because when it's just kind of the shooty gunplay, it's not that exciting, but once you start being able to whip things around and fly around...
Block things with, you know, the debris and...
Yeah, you can... possess people so that they fight on your side as well and things like that. So, yeah, there's all sorts of neat things as you do and as you go along. And, again, you start seeing things as you play that until much later in the game aren't really answered. So it sort of lingers there in the back, and eventually you'll figure out, oh, that's what that stuff is there. Oh, I need that. That's pretty cool. So I know. I don't think it's a game for everyone, but if you kind of like that weird quasi like X-Files-y type horror where you don't necessarily know everything and the government's controlling all sorts of weird stuff and there's experiments going on.
Yeah.
Then I think that's, it would be right up your alley. So
yeah, definitely X-Files-y.
Yeah.
As I mean, because like Alan Wake had some more Twin Peaks-y
Stephen King
and even Twilight Zone. Yeah. This feels more X-Files, you know, you could definitely tell the influences that, you know, Sam Lake has had, you know, in his life when they make these games.
I feel like here in the description, it's like if you took that Max Payne part where he was on Valkyr.
Yeah, when he's all drugged out.
Everything goes drugged out, everything else weird, and physics doesn't work right, and you start seeing hallucinations, and you got to fight for your life. It sounds like that's what's going on here.
Because that's the whole game.
Okay. So instead of one part, it's the entire...
The blood, you know, trail.
Yeah, you're not following blood trails in the sky and stuff like that. But it's trippy like that, and just the fact that, you know, things change, you know, reality can warp.
I remember, like, early on, when I was... I passed by this elevator in the building, and I was going down the hallway, and it sort of looped around. And then where it looped back around to, I was like, oh, wait, how did I get... here, because like geographically,
the elevator should be there.
I shouldn't be here. So then I started following. I backtraced myself, and I'm like, it's a dead end now. I'm like, what the heck? You know, it messes with your, you know, it messes with you, you know, in a way where you're like, because you know, spatial, you know, geometry and geography of a game, you know, but it'll shift without you knowing it sometimes, and you're like, well, that's different.
Yeah. Thankfully, it doesn't do it to the point where it's just impossible to find your way around.
No.
I still find that, you know, the levels are consistent enough, except for those bits where it sort of plays tricks on you, but even there, it tends to do it, like, after you've played a little bit, you kind of get to learn where the tricks are and where the changes are, so it's not too bad. But yeah, when you first go into an area, it can be pretty disorienting.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Keep forgetting to turn my mic off to answer the phone. But otherwise, enjoying it, correct?
Otherwise, quite enjoying it.
Yes.
Taking a break from it right now to call you guys.
Well, appreciate it. I really do want to play it and probably will. I've been debating on whether I should go PC or console with it. And I think I'm
How's
just...
it running on the PC for you, Matt? Is it
perfect.
Okay?
Yeah, it works. It runs great.
Cool, yeah.
You know, I'm having no issues with it at all.
I would like to try it because I hear it's one of those ones that has the ray tracing that really show it off. So,
I with my new PC and graphic card, I just have it bumped all the way up and everything, and it looks fantastic.
Nice.
I'm probably going to go console on that. I'll probably do one of those Best Buy things or pick it up for cheap price. Try and barrel through it if I can, and then I don't know. You know, I may not actually. I may wait for it to come down in price because then they got some expansion stuff coming.
Yeah, they got the Alan Wake stuff that's coming out next year.
Yeah,
I've been fine. Yeah, there's actually it's nice because there's a definitely more than just one little passing reference to Alan Wake through the game.
Right, that's what I understand, because I know a lot of the reviewers and a lot of the mandates that were sent to reviewers was like, look, don't talk about the other stuff in this game until like a week afterwards. To give people a chance to experience it. So I don't want to talk about it either, which I don't know anything of it. I don't know anything
That's
about
why
it.
I'm trying to be a little obtuse.
Please do. Please
you know,
do.
Without giving
you want me to start spoiling the whole? No.
Not at all.
So the big twist.
Hey, you play a lot of Switch, don't you there, Spigs?
I sure do.
I got a broken one.
You do? What'd you do to it?
I don't know. I played it this morning. I was playing Creature in the Well this morning, and then I brought it with me because I was going to play some more.
He threw it at me before the show started.
I did not.
Well, that could do it.
I would not throw my equipment. No, I'm getting error code 2168. An error has occurred. Please press the power button to restart the console. If you're unable to restart the console, hold the power button down for 12 seconds to turn it off. If the problem persists, refer to the support website. This problem has persisted, and I don't necessarily... I don't have time. Obviously, I'm trying to... This just happened before we went live.
Yeah.
Because 10 minutes before the show, I thought, yeah, let me turn on my Switch and I'll run through a little section of the game real quick. Because it's not hard to do like one section of the game. But now I've got an error code. Now I'm kind of in the middle of trying to do a show. I'm also trying to look up how to resolve this.
Basically, it says if it doesn't restart. Your Nintendo Switch console will need to be repaired.
I know, that's what I'm trying to look to see if anybody said, hey, it doesn't actually have to be repaired, you just got to do this. But I can't find that yet.
I don't know if I've had that particular error with mine at all.
And I don't know how it happened.
Did you have the most recent update on there?
I did, I updated it this morning, actually.
Uh-huh.
You said it was
there you go, that'll do it.
Scott, you said it was 2618?
2168.
Oh, 2168,
okay. Yeah. 2168 0002.
It's like a couple months ago, my PS4 gave me an error and said it needed to start in safe mode. So I looked up the error and everyone was like, "Yeah, you're gonna have to reformat your PS4." And I was like, "I'm not gonna do that."
Bollocks to that.
So then I just unplugged my external hard drive and started it up, and it was like, "Okay, everything's good." I'm like, "What are these people talking about reformat?"
Yeah, I don't know. So I'm going to have to do some searching here. And
no, you said back it up. I think about how long it took me to back up my systems. I'm like, no, we're not doing that.
That's not step one.
Yeah, hopefully you don't have to send it in to get fixed.
Let's see, anyone had this error? Apparently it's to do with a faulty Wi-Fi card or chip. I don't even use the Wi-Fi, but still, it's just absolutely killed my console. Had to return my Switch to Amazon, but they don't have any in stock. This was 2 years ago.
No.
So I'm getting a refund, and nowhere is stocking them anywhere close to me. Or blah, blah, blah.
That shouldn't be an issue for you now.
No, not at all, but I'm just trying to... Do I really need to set up a repair?
Well, do you have an SD card? Like, are you using an SD card?
Yeah, there's one in there.
Did you... Try popping that out.
I probably should.
I'll give you $20 for it.
That might fix things, and you can pop it back.
I'll give you $30 for your Switch.
Let me pull this out here. We're just going to do some.
And did you take your game cartridge out?
In the meantime.
Yeah, I'm going to do that as well as take the game cartridge out. Just to be.
Yeah, that probably wouldn't hurt.
Take out my Super Mario Maker 2.
What about the battery?
Can't take the battery out.
Well,
give me a hammer, and you can.
Yeah, that's true.
And sir, did you try turning it off and back
on?
Sir,
did you try turning it off and back on again? Yeah, I'm going
to
do
what
a...
What you're telling you to do, right?
Yeah, I'm doing a hard restart here.
So I'm going to need to transfer to Tier 2 support.
Welcome to Tech Support on News Talk, 93.1 FM.
So how are you finding Creature in the Well so far?
I love it. I enjoy...
I think that would be right up your wheelhouse.
It is. It's got some steep difficulty curves.
The second, how far are you in it right now? Are you? Like,
well, I'm trying to think. So
how many pylons have you opened up?
Right, exactly. That's what I'm going for. I want to say that I've opened up 4 pylons.
Okay, so you're sort of
like
basically have access to like all 7 dungeons, basically. At this
point? This morning, so I finished the 4th pylon, and then I activated the other one, and like 4 more or 3 more came up. I don't know how many. But it was a bunch.
Yeah, so that's what I found exactly. The first three, four sections were not that difficult to kind of go through, unlock everything. Then when the back half of the game opens up, it is just like, whoa, there's a bit of a spike there.
Yeah, so I picked I can't remember what it was called, the North Star Corridor or something. I picked that one to go through, and the first room I'm in, it's difficult.
Yeah, and I think I was able to do one of those ones, actually, like, activate it at, you know, sort of beat the boss section of it.
Mm-hmm.
But to try to get the bonus stuff in those sections is really hard. So, like, get through most of the rooms okay to a certain degree, but the bonus stuff goes from being just like, oh, this is a nice little challenge, to this is almost impossible. So
yeah. No, it's got a, it seems to have a steep curve, but I enjoyed those first four pylons.
Yeah, because that's what I thought at first. I'm like, oh, I'm going to finish this in like a day and a half. And then,
yeah.
It's been a week.
What else have you played? Actually, you know what? We can't talk about that. We have a break. We have to go to a commercial break.
So, yeah.
Right, we'll take a break.
Yeah, so you hang on the line. And when we come back, we will continue our conversation with Spigot there. I'll see if my Switch works. I don't know. We are referencing the music of a composer by the name of Kenji Ito.
Okay.
Kenji Ito has done, well, most of the music that you will hear today. There is one track that I thought might have come from Creature in the Well, but it did not. It was somebody composed an original piece for Creature in the Well. But it has nothing to do with, it's about the game, but it's not anything that's in the game. So I'm still using it. But yeah, that's coming up later during the interview. This first piece is from Kuldsepp Saga. That is Kenji Ito, who composed this. And when we come back, we will have more of In-Game Chat right after this. And welcome back to In-Game Chat. Music here from, it's a subtitle, Devil Survivor 2, but it's
Shin
Megami Tenshin.
That's it, yes. Okay. RJ knows.
Shin Megami Tenshin.
Glad he knows.
I'm very glad he knows, because I never know. Let's get back to Spigot on the phone here. Hey, man.
Hello.
Okay, where were we? What else you would play? Well, I can give you an update on the Nintendo Switch thing. I'm just going to have to wait till we get off the air.
No bueno.
I removed the memory card, and I removed the cartridge, and I got the orange screen of death.
Ugh.
I restarted that, and it did work, but it still gave me the error code 2168.
Yeah,
that's not good.
So, I don't know. Maybe I need to send it in to get repaired. I would hate that, but...
Sounding like that's probably going to be more likely than not.
Yeah. I know. Maybe they'll give me one of the new ones that have the better battery.
Well, probably, actually.
Yeah. GameStop still doing that trade-in?
I'm not trading in. They
able to get everything off of Switches when they get... remember, there was an issue back in the day when everything was still locked to the Switch itself. So
right.
Hopefully you can get all your progress and whatever.
I'm really hoping that's the case. Well, hopefully I don't have to send in my memory card with it.
But it depends on what you've saved, whether it's to the memory card or if it's on the internal memory. Because sometimes, especially did you get an external memory card from the beginning?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Started with one, yeah. Right off the bat.
Okay, yeah, you might be okay then.
Yeah.
I get one for a while after mine, so there's still a good bunch of stuff that's saved on the internal memory. So.
Yeah, no, I did that right off the bat.
I was about to ask you, what backup options do you have for your stuff on there? Yeah.
Sadly, not many when it comes to the Nintendo Switch. Basically, that's it. And
and even their online backup for stuff is for like three different games kind of thing. Like, they don't have a lot, but they're...
Nintendo's not very good at like wanting you to hold on to your stuff.
No.
Yeah, that's the thing I was thinking about with consoles nowadays. You know, you got to have that in the back of your mind about backing up your stuff just in case the worst happens.
Yeah, I'm gonna take a look at it this evening after the show and really kind of dig down into it, see if I can at least get it repaired enough to where I can make sure everything's backed up and I'm good to go in case I need to do that. If not, get it completely repaired just by doing whatever steps I can find online. Not a lot for this one. And I don't know really what caused it. Just boom, you know. And I updated it, by the way. I updated it this morning. So fair warning for those of you who are updating your Switches.
Makes me a little leery to turn mine on now.
Yeah.
Well, you said yours was the faulty Wi-Fi, possibly?
No. That's what somebody had said. That was 2 years ago.
Okay.
So no, I don't
tell him.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Okay.
What else have you been playing?
What else have I been playing? Well, Creature Noel. Let's see, what else? Control, Creature Noel.
I saw a lot of games. You need to come back to PAX. Well, you need to go to PAX. Have you been to a PAX?
Never been to a PAX. I'd love to go.
You need to come down to Montgomery, then go to a PAX.
There you go.
No, just meet me in Seattle, or
we can do
around the corner.
We can do I know. We can do San Antonio, or wait, which? Where are you? You're in Canada.
I'm near Toronto.
I know, and I have no idea where Toronto is.
That's northeast.
Be better to go to Boston for you.
Boston would be the best.
Okay.
From the ones in the area, yeah, that'd probably be the best.
All right, planning a Boston.
Do they do Unplugged there? Where do they do Unplugged?
Philadelphia.
Because that's not too far either. Comparatively speaking.
Yeah.
So
I believe
it's
Philadelphia.
I'd really like to do that one, actually.
Or maybe is it Pittsburgh?
Either one, I think, is still relatively
It starts
close.
With a P.
Yeah.
Poughkeepsie.
No, PAX Unplugged is in Philadelphia.
There you go.
It's December 6th through the 8th. But that's not going to help what I want you to do, which is basically go to the indie section and just, play to your heart's content, man. I saw so many games that was like, Spigot'll like this, Spigot'll like this, he'll like this, he'll like this. Most of everything that I played, basically.
Oh, there you go.
Something that you would like. Superliminal? Awesome. You'll love Superliminal.
I'll keep my eyes peeled for it.
See, every time you say that, I always think of like the Simpsons episode with LT Smash, where they had the boy band, and it's like,
Okay.
Old Simpsons reference.
Superliminal is, and I've talked to you. You probably know what I'm talking about. It's a perception type game. Pick up an object off of a table, but if you look at that object, if you bring the object closer to you, it retains its size in the room itself.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. And that's how you use things in the room to get to different parts of the room and that sort of thing. So
that's pretty cool.
It's a really, really interesting game. Not out yet, but it feels very Stanley Parable-ish with a cross of Portal.
That laptop scene is pretty cool, where he's like watching a trailer of the game.
And then he steps out of the way and, exactly. What was another one? I played Prey to the Gods.
I've heard of that.
Yeah, that's
something. That still hasn't come out yet, eh?
It still has not come out.
That's been a little bit.
Doesn't seem like it's an indie game, but man, if it's... I mean, that's just a slap Shadow of the Colossus 2 on the thing.
Yeah.
And that's what you got, because that is exactly what that is. And I do not mind that for a second.
Nope.
Not at all.
Not what you'd call an oversaturated market.
No, not one bit.
Really.
Spiritfarer was good. You'll like that. Round Guard is fantastic.
What's that about? You said that you were mentioning that last week.
Which one? Round Guard?
Round Guard, yeah.
Round Guard is, imagine if you're playing Peggle.
Okay.
All right.
So that already should win you over right there.
There you go.
Imagine if you're playing Peggle, but the ball that you shoot now is this little fat guy with a sword. And he's round. I mean, he's actually round. And like when you fire at an enemy that's on the Peggle board, you have a certain amount of attack strength, and they have a certain amount of attack strength, and you've got an HP, and they have HP. And so, that's basically how it works. You fire at them, and you take a little bit of their health off. Meanwhile, there's health potions staggered around the board. There's mana staggered around the board. And as you pick those up, you regain your health, or you pick up your magic.
Nice.
And you can do special attacks. So, yeah, that's basically it. And it's a lot of fun.
That's very cool.
I
still for that one.
Yeah, it's great. Where did I leave off on... Let me go to my calendar here. And I can tell you where I... I have a message from our guest. Oh, he just sent me some music tracks. I won't be able to get those. little late on that one, but that's no problem.
My bad, bro.
Yeah, it's not a problem. Did I leave off on Sunday?
Yes.
I think that I did. And I saw Spiritfarer. And I want to say I talked about Spiritfarer, didn't I?
That sounds familiar.
Spiritfarer is where you have a boat.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right, and you're taking people to where they're going to die.
Yes.
Oh, that sounds pretty cool.
Yeah. But on the way to their death, they ask you, they say, hey, can we please stop by my old childhood home on this island, go here, and will you please get this thing that I remembered from my childhood? I want to take it with me.
Huh.
And so you help them do that. Meanwhile, as you're sailing to wherever you are going to be going, they will ask you to do tiny little tasks, like you can plant a garden. Somebody needs a garden because they like to do that on the boat. Mm-hmm. You can fish off the side of the boat. You have a cat that is with you at all times on that boat that can be controlled by a second player.
Yeah. Mm.
When the cat and you separate enough, that's when the screen kind of zooms out so that you can all see each other. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so it's...
Were you making comparisons to Valiant Hearts on this? Like some emotional journey?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. There may be a little bit there. Not like Valiant Hearts at all,
not
though.
Not quite that.
Like, Valiant Hearts was like, this is real.
Yeah.
on Spiritfarer,
Spiritfarer was like emotional, but Valiant Hearts is like a tearjerker.
Oh, Valiant Hearts is just... Valiant Hearts is serious stuff. It was good.
Yeah.
God, it was good. But Spiritfarer, I don't necessarily know that it's going to pull on the heartstrings or anything, because, I mean... You're taking a snake person thing to go to its final resting place. And then you're taking a deer to go do that. They're all animals that you're helping out to do this with. And none of them, like, you know, puppies or something. So it's not pulling too hard on the strings there. Mm-hmm. But it is nice and chill, basically. Mm-hmm. You know, it's chill in the sense that it doesn't feel like I played What Remains of Edith Finch the other day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Went through that whole thing. That is a very chill experience.
Yeah.
It is a walking simulator, hardly.
I have that on Epic. I need to.
It's not bad. I was expecting more puzzles, and I didn't get them. So, but this is just, this is chill, but it also requires you to do some stuff. So, very good. The artwork's fantastic, too. It's all hand-drawn. Yeah, I know. Exactly. Then I talked about Big Drunk Satanic Massacre and how I didn't really like that. Jet Cave Adventure was good. Very great platformer where you're a caveman who finds a jetpack. And you can hold down the button to charge up your jetpack and smash through walls. And, you know, it's all a platformer side-scroller thing.
Yeah, that instantly made me think of Rocket Knight Adventures with that in that
game. Exactly, yeah. Then I saw Turbo Play. Turbo Play I didn't get to talk about. Turbo Play is a...
I was interested in this.
Get ready for another storefront.
Which one?
Turbo Play.
Oh, yeah, that's the storefront.
Yes.
Okay.
It's going to be another...
You get drowned out with so many of them all.
Online digital distribution.
With a twist.
Game digital distribution. Yeah. They're changing it up. I mean, these guys talk to me, and I should set up an interview so they can come on and explain it themselves.
Yeah.
So that they can tell you, because they are developers. They are former developers who had to go. They went through the process of getting their game on Steam, went through the process of getting their game on EGS. They know the ins and outs of how that works and what they're offered. They're not a big studio to know how it affects larger studios. But as in a small independent studio, they wanted to make something better and different. And I had to ask them, I was like, what are you doing that's... Seriously, what can you bring in? You can offer free games. They're like, we're not going to offer free games. The free game thing that EGS is doing is just building their client base.
Yeah.
In other words, they're building up a library to somebody so that you can become attached to that library, so that you don't want to leave that library.
Sure.
Now, most of the games they offer are games we already have on Steam, but for people who missed out on games that they may already have on Steam, picking up these free titles is building up, it's building up their backlog on their own platform.
Yeah.
So it kind of grabs that attachment there. The hook on this one is that everything you do in the store earns you turbo bits or something. I don't know. Some sort.
Turbo bucks.
Yeah, well, it's essentially, it's some sort of digital currency. You can equally spend your own money to buy a game. Yeah. But if you go and review a game, you get one little, you get a coin. That relates to $1. You get, if you write a review. If you play a game and hit some achievements, you build up to get another coin.
Okay. That's what I used to think that the, back when Xbox Live launched, and, well, like on the 360, and they had achievements.
So you thought your gamer score was going to do?
Yeah, that's exactly what I thought the gamer score would be like. You could earn in-game, you know, points and credits and stuff like that that could then be turned into things you could spend on their storefront. And that never was what happened. Now, that was actually one of the most disappointing things back in the day.
This gamer store, score does absolutely zero.
Yeah, and, you know, whereas if you could have used that for some kind of tangible benefit, that would have been, whether it's getting a discount, you know, or if you could spend it, and, I'll keep playing your games, and then I'm playing your games, so that gives me stuff to buy more games.
Mm-hmm. When you buy a game, you get a significant amount of the store currency put into your account. So, I mean, eventually it all adds up to where one day you can use that store currency to actually buy a game if you want to. So writing a review, watching somebody stream on their platform, recommending games, that sort of thing. Everything you do, even playing the games and earning achievements inside the game, will increase your currency, your digital currency with their store. Mm-hmm. Which again, they talk about EGS giving away free games, building a backlog. Well, okay, so fine. You're giving away in-game currency so that people will shop in your store. You know, you're putting that hook in there, where every time I do something, hey, I could do this on Steam, but I can also do it over here and get some money for it, or get a little and kind of progress myself further to earn, you know, these bucks and that
store
sort of
credit,
thing.
You mean, right?
Yeah.
That's not a bad little hook.
So that's,
what games are they putting out on it?
Yeah, that's this thing seems to be a good ways away. It's not.
Okay.
I don't think it hits beta until December.
What if, all right.
Or alpha.
What if you you go in on it and you start buying the games and, you start doing the turbo bucks or whatever, and the thing goes under? Then what?
I mean, like anything, then
you lose your stuff.
Yeah, I mean, what?
That's why, I mean, Steam, I don't think is going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Epic, I think they're pretty solid.
One day Steam will go somewhere.
Yeah.
I mean, one day it will.
Yeah.
It's not going to be around forever. We may be long gone by the time it happens, but it's not going
to
be around forever.
The universe.
But, you know, so I'm just, you know, I could understand, you know, I understand Steam, Epic, they're a big company. I don't think they're going anywhere anytime soon either. Turbo, whatever.
Turbo Play. I know, it's brand new. Yeah, it's brand new. You're not going to lose the game that you bought. You'll be able to download it, but,
But if they go under, their servers go down.
Yeah.
I imagine, who was it? We had a scare not too long ago. Was it GOG that did something, and we were like, oh, God, what's going to happen to all our games?
There's been a couple times where things have kind of come close to the edge.
Well, not GOG, because,
who was it? There was a game store I remember that threatened to go.
Was it Green Man?
Maybe, I don't know. No, Green Man's.
Oh, no, they're just retailing.
Yeah.
I do remember there being something within the last couple of years.
Where it put it out there oh, God, what's going to happen? Because they teased something.
Mm-hmm. Maybe it was GOG.
I thought it was GOG.
But, GOG allows you to download the actual.
No, but they were basically, I think they were doing a retrofit of the store, I think when they were moving the Galaxy or something like that. And it was. Either the way they did the announcement was not good, or they were sort of framing it almost like an April Fool, so people were thinking okay, is this serious?
Yeah, it caused a little bit of a panic
because it was one of those things where it's oh, we've just lost everything we've invested in this, but they didn't then end up doing it. I can't remember if it was an actual legitimate thing where they thought they were going to be losing their backing and funding, and we're going to have to shut stuff down, and then things thankfully pulled around. But I do remember that. Off the top of my head, I couldn't tell you where it is.
Yeah, and that was. But it brought into the discussion of, hey, what does happen when our digital stores go belly up? What do you do? What becomes of it?
Yeah.
And Yeah, so
to a certain degree, you guys kind of make your peace with that. I think, if depending on what the deals are and what you know, why you've been attracted to that storefront or this storefront. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if Steam goes under, I am out. I don't even want to know how much.
I'm out almost 2,000 games, if that's the case.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, that would be bad.
It would.
But on the other hand, I'm also like, how much of those am I actually playing anymore?
True.
Or do I not have on some other system that where it would be relevant? Like, it would be bad to lose all of that. But
On Monday at PAX, I went and saw... Oh, Wisebird Games, YSBRYD.
Okay.
Games. They did a follow-up to Valhalla, or whatever that...
Jotun?
No. It's a...
Oh, the bartending thing.
The bartending thing, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
I love that game.
This one's called Nirvana.
Nice.
And it's cyberpunk set.
Nice. All right.
And you're just basically a bartender, and you hear stories from people coming in to get drinks, and you can interact, and... Basically, it's a, I don't know what you would call it, Spiggs, like a narrative adventure thing? I don't know.
Yeah, it's an indie game.
Yeah, but they also had a companion game called World of Horror.
Hmm.
World of Horror...
You bartender at a Lovecraft.
No. World of Horror is based on those Japanese black and white comic books.
Oh, the Junji Ito.
You remember the one where they walk up to the mountain? They're like, "That's my hole."
That's Junji Ito. Yeah.
Yeah, and everybody was drawn to this mountain because there were cutouts of people.
Oh yeah.
In the mountain, I'm looking at Matt here while I'm telling him this, and it was drawing people to them. And so
none of this sounds familiar. To me.
Oh, you should look. You should really look up that comic. It's fantastic. Okay. I don't know what it's called.
It's like the. I can send you the link, Matt.
Yeah.
I know exactly which one he's talking about.
Yeah.
It is a Junji Ito.
Posted in the chat room. But yeah, it's basically a game based on that. And based on a bunch of different one of those. And so,
yeah, like Uzumaki. Mm-hmm. He does a lot. Like, he's pretty much like the premier horror manga artist right now.
Yeah, and it's all set. It's all in a black and white screen type thing. So
nice.
Yeah. That's it. The Enigma of Amagara Fault.
There you go.
Yeah, that's the one. That is the one.
Okay.
That is the one.
So, and then I saw on Monday, I only had one more. It was called Minute of Islands. And man, I am trying to remember what this was.
About 60 seconds of Island?
Well, it was very quick. It's kind of puzzly. You're on an island and you have to... pull levers and lift things up and move things over so you can get across and activate a thing. You'd have to look it up. It was fun. I didn't get a lot of time with it, and it seems like it's very early in development, but
okay.
I enjoyed it. The art on it was interesting and different. So, but yeah.
Did you ever play Minute?
I didn't play Minute, no.
Not like at PAX, but it's one of the Devolver games that came out in the last year or so. Where
I played, what's that Devolver game that was shown Pedro? Off? No. I played that last PAX. Oh. This pack was Cryon or something. What was it called?
Carrion?
Carrion. Yeah. Carrion.
That looks neat.
Yeah, it was. It was a lot of fun. You play the monster that breaks out into a science lab or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
Katamari Damacy with a lot of...
Right, with basically exactly. It was fantastic. Loved it very much. So, we're getting up to the top of the hour. We need to take Chris's call here, Spiggs, and then we got our interview coming up. Are you going to stick around in the chat room and listen to the show?
I will probably try to.
Well, we hope you will.
Awesome.
And definitely call us back next time.
I will. Yeah, it's been a busy summer, but I'm going to try to call a little more often.
We hope to hear from you again, man.
You
Thanks.
Have summer up there?
Yeah, I know. It's, the permafrost thawed for 5 minutes.
Oh,
we
wow.
enjoyed it.
Yeah, I wish we had a winter.
Did you wear a t-shirt?
Long shorts with high
shorts
socks.
Shorts in the snow.
Yep. Yeah. Always great talking to you, Spiggs.
All right, nice talking to you guys.
See you, man.
Have a good one.
Bye-bye.
Also, real quick.
Oh, well, we're going to talk to Chris real fast. Hey, Chris.
What's going on?
Sorry to keep you waiting, man. What's up?
Just playing Borderlands 3 on PlayStation and haven't done really no story missions whatsoever, but I've been enjoying it so far. It's been real fun.
How far are you into it?
I haven't even done the first main mission. The only thing I've done was just open up the weapon store that he asked you to restore.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the only thing I've done. And I've just leveled up about level 5 and just had some fun messing around looking for weapons.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. How's the performance?
I like it. It's performing real good.
Okay.
Who are you playing as?
I think it's Jax, or the one that that can do two skills at once. I can't remember his name.
Flack?
No, it wasn't Flack. It was the other guy. It was the guy that has the Irish accent.
The skinny guy?
Yeah, the skinny guy.
I forget his name.
Yeah.
He kind of looks like Handsome Jack.
Yeah, that one, yeah.
Okay, I'm playing as Flack.
Mm-hmm. How are you liking him?
I like him. Having his little beast companions are a lot of fun. Plus, he's more the sniper build. I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, I've read on some of the other character reviews that they posted on YouTube and stuff that Jack, or the main character I've been playing, had some snarky remarks to the different things in the storyline. And I was like, yeah, that might be sound interesting. And then, like, the first one where Claptrap blows up the TNT, and you get your first gun.
Yeah.
And he mentioned, like, yeah, the people all the way on the moon could have heard it. Mm-hmm. Or something like that.
My one other question for both of you, can you guys tell the difference in voice actor for Claptrap?
No, not really.
I can't really. I have.
It sounds a lot like...
That guy left, right?
Yeah, he did. Okay.
Yeah, he got left.
Sure.
Yeah. No, it sounds like Claptrap.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Yeah, I have noticed a difference until you said something. It sounded exactly the same to me.
Yeah, they probably did some like little altering with the sound equipment to make it get as close as possible. Have someone talk as close as they can, and then we'll alter the pitch and tempo and do whatever we can to get it like that.
Sounds like Claptrap to me.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, same old annoying little robot as he's always been.
Yeah.
I was trying to figure out who the characters. I think me and Matt were talking earlier. If there was anybody who was a support character, like Roland in the first one would throw out his Scorpio turret and it would heal you and your partners, and refill your ammo, things like that. Axton, I played number two because he had the turrets. He could saber turrets. He could throw out just about to back up your partners as they're attacking an enemy, especially in a boss. They'll be focused on the turrets and not you. I was wondering if there was anybody like that in three.
Well, I just hung up on Chris. I went to put Bo on hold, but I actually put him on the air, which cut Chris off.
What a rookie.
And yeah, exactly.
What kind of
phone operator?
Yeah, I know.
Here?
Well, we've lost a loyal listener now. Chris, I'm sorry I hung up on you. I did not mean to do that. I apologize.
Right in the middle of my question.
I know. Right in the middle of your question, too. I don't know if Chris is going to call back or not. I don't know if Chris knows what he got hung up on.
He's probably still talking.
I don't know. He might call back. He might not. But we've got to take a break. So, Chris, if you're listening,
sorry,
call back later in the hour because we've got our interview with Flight School Studios coming up next.
But not after 6.
After 6.
Well, you could call back after 6. That'd
they're not going to be here. No, it's a repeat today.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Oh.
So
don't call back after
6. Just call back a little bit. Just call back after the interview, Chris. So we're going to take a break. When we come back, we will have that interview, more of In-Game Chat. We are focusing on the composer Kenji Ito today. This comes from a game called Adventures of Mana. And we'll be right back with In-Game Chat right after this. And welcome back to In-Game Chat. Now, the title of this is Creature in the Well, but it is not... Yeah, look at this. fix that. I got to remember that stuff.
Yeah,
to turn the cameras back on.
Struggle is real.
The title of this track is called Creature in the Well. I was trying to find some music from the game last night and couldn't get anything, but I found this, and apparently it's some song that somebody on YouTube composed for the game. His name is B-Slick.
B-Slick?
Yeah. I liked it, so I thought, eh.
It's kind of catchy.
Sure. We'll use it. Why not? So, we have on the phone with us right now is, and I'm a...
Come on, do it.
I know. Look, I'll go ahead and warn him ahead of time. I butcher names all the time, and I'm going to try and not do yours.
He butchers my name, and it's Matt.
I know.
No matter how simple.
Bowden Sayre. Is that correct?
Wow, you nailed it.
Hey!
Awesome!
Yeah! Perfect.
Wow. See, here's the... It comes naturally to you, but you know how long I practiced?
Yeah, he did.
To try and get
confirm.
It right. Were you at PAX?
Not PAX West. I was at PAX East and Gamescom. I was in Germany, and then my my counterpart on the game, Adam Volker, was at PAX West.
Okay. Nobody at the booth had cards, and so I have no idea. I can't remember who I talked to. There was only, like, I think there were two of you there and then somebody from PR.
Pop Agenda, yeah.
Yeah, and that
yeah,
was...
Yeah, we work at a small team called Pop Agenda, and they're, like, at all the events. So you definitely talk to somebody from them.
Yeah, and nobody had a card, so I had no idea who it was, but... which was horrible because I really, really liked your game. And then after I got done playing it, I realized, oh, it's coming out this week. By the time I get back from PAX,
it'll be available.
It'll probably be available. And so that was exciting to learn. However, I played your game this morning on my Switch, like, while it was docked, and that was great, and I enjoyed it, and I loved it. And then I brought my Switch with me to the station and popped it open, and now my Switch is broke.
Are
you trying to say that he owes you a Switch?
It has nothing to do with his game. I'm getting some weird error code on my Switch, and I've tried to look it up, and it looks like I'm going to have to send it in for repair.
Oh, crazy.
Yeah, it's not... So
we broke your Switch.
Right, yeah, great. Luckily, though, your game is also on the Xbox Game Pass.
Yes.
Yep. Yeah, definitely.
So I can go there and just start over.
Get your fix.
Yep.
Have to start all the way over. Exactly. Well, I'm four pylons in.
Okay, great.
So not too far.
Yeah, you're making progress.
Well, once I unlocked, after I finished the four pylons and I unlocked the other pylons, I picked one at random, which was the North Star Corridor, I think.
Yeah, that one's hard.
Boy, was it. That was a massive difficulty jump when I got in there. I thought, hey, you know what? Let me just see what it looks like when I get in there. And I was like, oh, this is tough. So I picked the wrong one.
How'd you guys come up with the idea for a sort of pinball dungeon?
Oh, my gosh.
Well, explain what Creature in the Well is.
So unusual, but
how that came about.
We call it, like, a top-down hack-and-slash-pinball game, like you're saying.
Yeah.
Which is weird, but it was, like, kind of the simplest way we could think of to describe it. Uh-huh. And honestly, we didn't even start with pinball when we originally were, like, creating the prototype and coming up with, you know, the core mechanic and
that's,
stuff.
That's what I was told actually, when I was playing.
Yeah, we were thinking, like, okay, a top-down game, simple controls, like Zelda-style controls, just, like, joystick and a couple of buttons to swing, but we were going to actually be playing like air hockey. The idea was like make this multiplayer thing that was kind of inspired but a little bit by Rocket League, but then also by like other ball bouncing games like Breakout. Honestly, it was like a huge inspiration. You can kind of see in the game, like if you played the game, you can see it's actually a lot like Breakout.
It was weird
when I some of the other ones.
Yeah, when I first saw it being played, when I was standing at your booth waiting to play it, I first got the initial vibe of Breakout. That's exactly,
yeah.
And it depends on
exactly
where the level was that they were doing this, and
yeah,
that's why I got that. But then, of course, another. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, turns out not everybody knows what Breakout is.
See, I'm old enough to remember.
We were like telling people, like, "Yeah, it's like Breakout, whatever," and they're like, "What? What game?" And I was like, "You know, like a brick breaker or whatever," and they're like, "Okay, I guess." But, like, everybody knows what pinball is.
Yeah.
Right.
So we're like, all right, okay.
Well, it was when they moved into a different room and I got to see some of the different ways of the ball making its way around the room, I realized, wait, that's a bumper. That is a that's a slingshot, that's a bumper. And I was like, oh, this is
so
pinball.
Like, mid-production, we had, like, identified the pinballness of it. And we're like, yeah, let's lean into it. Let's, like, make the objects kind of look bumpery. And some of the rooms are pretty much just, like, straight Plinko, like, there's no danger at all. You're just, like, trying to see how fast you can take charge up all these bumpers. in this like fun grid or like array of spheres type room, you know?
Yeah, those kind of threw me for a loop because when I finished them, I thought, okay, what's next? Oh, that's all I had to do. Okay.
Yeah.
Because I was expecting the next mechanic that burns me to death to pop up, and it never came. So I thought, oh, that's all I had to do in this room. That's nice.
Yep. Yeah.
So,
yeah, so you go from room to room, you charge up these bumpers, and the whole goal of the game is to, like, gain power, or to actually, like, generate power in this big, giant machine you're inside of. And then you use that power you're generating to, like, open new doors, progress through this big temple, and eventually, like, turn the machine on.
Mm-hmm.
The machine's actually this giant, like, weather machine that was designed to stop a sandstorm that's trapped this entire town in the middle of the desert for, like, hundreds of years.
The weather
dominator?
So
that's kind of your goal. Yeah, the weather tether, whatever, as Roger the Frog calls it in the game.
Yeah, the weather tether, yeah. He's embarrassed by that, apparently. But or was embarrassed to tell me that he's dubbed it the weather tether.
Making up cool names.
Yep. So, did you initially, I mean, when you make a game like this, and now the game is only apparently on two platforms, Xbox and Switch, correct? Or is it on PC?
We're on PC as well.
You're on PC as well.
We're on
okay.
Steam, and we're actually on PC via Game Pass. So like, if you have Game Pass, you can download it on PC through the Microsoft Store or on Xbox.
That's good, actually. I'm used to my Xbox Game Passes first.
Just being Xbox?
Well, first-party games being Xbox and PC, but third-party games not being the case.
Yeah, that was a big endeavor that, when we met up with Microsoft close to the end of production, they were like, yeah, we're pushing on making sure that like a much larger percentage of games that are on Game Pass are also on PC. They're not just Xbox-only Game Pass games.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, sweet, sounds good.
Yeah, we'll take it. How many people are on the team?
So the core team on this game is two people. But I'll caveat that by saying, you know, we're a part of a larger studio. Flight School Studios is actually about 30-some-odd people, but we all work on different projects. Everyone except those two people that worked on it, myself and Adam, the other guy, are in Dallas,
Texas. That other guy.
The other guy. They're all in Dallas, Texas, and we work on a variety of different types of projects. So what's cool is, like, whenever there's some downtime on another project, we'll get to, like, borrow people. So
okay.
We'll be like, okay, we need a couple of weeks of modeling from the Dallas team to work on something that we just don't have the bandwidth to do. So it's a core team of two people for like a year and a half, but we've gotten to use animation and modeling time. Obviously we have like external music and sound effects and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a pretty small team.
Yeah, two people. Nate, you had a question?
Quick question on the previous topic. How was that for you guys and Cap's experience in such dealing with Microsoft, you know, going through that process?
It was pretty smooth. Honestly, I can't say I was, like, super involved in the, like, business aspect of it, so to speak, but they've been a massive help, and, like, they've been very easy to communicate with, especially with going through this process. Like, the PC Games Pass kind of platform is fairly new-ish, so we're like, okay, how do we do this? Like, where are we shipping to? What's going on? So they've been guiding us through that, which has been great.
Is that weird as a very small developer, basically, to know that your game is out there essentially for free?
A little bit, for sure.
Yeah.
But I think it's definitely a benefit to us. You know, like, I don't know how much I can really talk about it, but they're essentially compensating for us just based on, you know, how long the time to or the time period is.
Cool,
we're going to give you some money to basically give it away in our subscription. We're like, all right, sounds great.
Yeah, I think we talked to Contrast. Compulsive Games was the name of the studio. When they released Contrast on PS Plus, we had them on, and we talked about that sort of system of, like, what's it like? I mean, this is a game you just put out, and now it's out there for free for your PS Plus players. How does that...
Yeah.
And they say, oh, no. Sony makes sure that it's like, hey, here's the expected purchase rate of your game. We're going to compensate for that, and we're going to put you on for free there. So, yeah. Go ahead, Nate.
Sorry. Real quick follow-up as well. And if you can't speak on this, perfectly fine. Just curious, you know, being able to talk about on this aspect of it. Are you able to see any metrics or anything of people that play?
Yeah, like how many users and such?
Yeah,
we get numbers on all the platforms, basically, to see. And the GameStop platform is actually the largest, surprising nobody right now just because it's, like, available if you already have the subscription for free, you know what I mean? So we feel really good about it.
Were you guys... since we're on this topic, I might as well throw it out there. Did you guys get approached by Epic Game Store at all? If you can't say, I understand.
We have a long-running relationship with them, actually, because we know some people who were formerly at CAA, like the ad agency, who are now at Epic. So we've talked about them with stuff, and we actually, Creature in the Wall got a small dev grant from them. I think earlier this year. I think it was this year.
But you didn't
have to... Which helped a lot for us to do travel and stuff, but we didn't... we couldn't go through with the Epic Game Store stuff, or we couldn't even approach that because we already had this deal with Microsoft, and it's a PC thing. You know what I mean?
Okay. That's true, I guess. If you're going to be in the Game Pass for that, you probably wouldn't be able to...
If Game Pass was, like, Xbox only, I think we would have been clear to, like, pursue that.
Right.
But,
yeah, I'm just curious. It's an odd...
They definitely reach out to a lot of people. Like, we know a lot of other developers who are like, yeah, they reach out to us.
Yeah, it's an odd thing that I never thought I would have questions now when I talk to developers, because even at PAX when I was talking to developers, that was one of my questions. Anytime they either said that here's the platforms we're going to be on, or so if they said that and left out Epic Games, I thought, well, if Epic Games comes along, would you be... And they said, well, of course, we're always open to, especially the smaller studios, and which I don't blame them. I don't blame them at all.
I feel exactly the same way. Yeah, it's very hard to, like, talk about or really explain quickly, I guess. But, like, as a small studio, that, like, the offers that they create are, like, make or break for a lot of small teams, you know? That could, like, keep your studio alive for multiple years, which is, like, a huge deal. So you're not just depending on sales, which are in the future of, you know, anyway. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. Now, how long did development take on Creature in the Well?
We started on this game early last year. We had a prototype. We started on a prototype like February or March of 2018. So it was fairly quick in terms of just like the zeitgeist of how long games take, I guess. But our background is kind of like in the commercial space. We actually have done like a lot of small products and experiences, mobile titles, things for client like ad games and stuff like that. So we're kind of used to, like, shorter timelines, and we didn't want to, like, buckle down on something that was, like, multiple years long. We just wanted to, like, get our first longer-form indie game out there and try to, like, you know, really get into this indie game market in a significant way.
Creature in the Well for you, specifically, I guess maybe you and the other guy.
The other guy, Adam.
Where is this in your timeline of the games that you've released or worked on?
Gosh, yeah, it's a long story for us. We've actually been working together about 10 years. We worked at a studio called Moonbot Studios, which is actually like started as a small film studio. Okay. We were both in film and animation.
Okay.
And then we kind of started this like interactive group there where we did children's books and mobile games and stuff like that. And that kind of just like slowly led us down the path towards more and more like traditional games, I guess.
And how?
So this is kind of like a culmination of a lot of that stuff, really.
And what is the
except for a Switch game?
Yeah, what's the timeline as far as like as far as Flight School Studios themselves? Where's this game at? Is this their third release, fourth release? What is?
Yeah, so Flight School has been around for a couple of years. We did a number of VR projects, and Flight School does a lot of like emerging tech products in general. And this is our third project, I think. Our own, like, unique IP. We did a VR project called Manifest 99 and one called Island Time.
Is this the one that's getting more attention than, I guess, the others? Or the most attention?
Definitely.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Just kind of the breakout game type thing where it's not breakout as a breakout, but the one that's like, hey, we're here, we make games. This is our thing. So
exactly, yeah. It was a little bit more mainstream. And that was the whole goal with it, just to like do something a little bit more mainstream, a little bit larger, like target demographic. You know what I mean?
Yeah. About the art design on this game, who came up with, I'm sure it went through some iterations of how the game was going to look. But where did the inspirations for how this thing looks now come from?
Yeah, so Adam's the art director, and he did, like, all the great concept art and, like, style design and all that good stuff.
Because I can't put a style on this. I can't call it...
Yeah, it's weird, right?
Comic book, or I can't... It's got a sense of what was it called? In fact, Borderlands was going to be this thing back when Borderlands released. The big highlights.
Cell shaded.
Yeah. I forgot all about what that was called. It has some aspects of cell shading, but got some abstractness to it.
Exactly. Yeah. So the inspirations were very much like comic books and very graphic illustration. So like the Hellboy comics were a huge inspiration.
Yep. Mike Mignola.
Have been heavily inspired by Mike Mignola, and we kind of like we started very, very simple. So Adam would do some concept art, and I have a background in 3D art and animation. So I'll do like the 3D style exploration, and then I'll be like, how's this? And he'll mess with those tools and techniques, like texturing workflows or whatever, and then come back and be like, all right, what I want to do more of this, or I want to like make it look this way. So it's an iteration where we kind of just go back and forth. But basically, we started with like very flat, simple colors, and it was like a limited palette too, and we kind of intentionally wanted objects to blend together. Like there was intentionally like no outline. Mm-hmm. So if two objects were the same color, they would just become one silhouette. You know, you wouldn't even be able to tell the difference or tell that they were separate objects or anything. Mm-hmm. And we started that in the game. We're like, all right, it's hard to like see what's going on there. Like, what's the difference? You can't tell the difference between like the floors and the walls and whatever. So then we started to just massage it and just kind of like, I guess, you know, riff on what the style could evolve into that helps it read for gameplay, but also keeps that unique, you know, comic book graphic aspect, the deep blacks and the like high contrast type stuff. A lot of the texturing is kind of interesting because we intentionally like do these like lower res textures and then sharpen them up so they keep like crisp lines. Everything looks kind of vectory mm-hmm. a little bit, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But it was very interesting. I actually carried over like a little bit of cell shading techniques from one of our VR projects. And that was kind of the basis. So for objects that are actually lit in the game, which is like the main character and some of the environment, they are actually being cell shaded. You know, it's like kind of solid color in the light and solid color in the shadow. But most of the objects in the game just like aren't even lit. It's just like we just textured them, picked a color. They're perfectly flat, and we just control everything in, you know, in that coloration process.
This is a digital-only title, I guess, but is there any talk with maybe Limited Run or something like that to release any kind of a box copy?
Yeah, we're trying to. Okay. We've been talking to a few people because we'd love to have, like, a special edition or limited edition type physical thing. We love that stuff.
I'm guessing the response has been pretty positive. On the release, I'm enjoying
it. Yeah,
it's
been really good. We've got really solid ratings. Like, again, we're pretty small, right? This is kind of our first like major title of this caliber for sure. And so the response to me has been like overwhelming. It's been
awesome.
Yeah. We get a lot of feedback from different people that they're like, it's really hard. And we're like, okay, cool. We're like massaging the difficulty. But I feel like overall we've created something that has like a unique mood and very unique like gameplay that seems to hook a lot of people, and art style seems to hook a lot of people. So far it's been really good.
Is there any plan to release, I don't know, maybe DLC or something like that? Is there any plan to release more stages?
We've talked about it. I think, you know, before release we were like, let's just gauge response. See how it goes, and then we can consider it. But there's definitely a lot of stuff we didn't get into the game. You know, there's ideas we cut, mechanics we cut, things that were just like weren't ready, or we didn't feel like they needed to be in the first version. So it'd be really cool to do a DLC. I would enjoy it.
I like the idea of possible co-op.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Bouncing the ball back and forth to charge it up.
Yep, and that was on the table for sure when we started.
I bet it was.
It was just kind of I don't think we can do this with just a two-person team.
Yeah, I was thinking, you know, they probably already approached this idea of how we can put two players in that. I mean, it's you whacking a ball back and forth, and so, it would be
that
fantastic.
That playfield, you've probably been to town, but like,
the baseball
that playfield, you know? Yeah, the baseball field, like two goals or whatever. The first prototypes, like, they were multiplayer. You could drop in as the other character, as another person, and, like, hit around and, like, shoot at each other and stuff, and it was fun. But we just couldn't sustain that for the whole production.
Yeah, I figured that was something that was thought of or something like
totally.
That.
Yeah, I'm thinking the co-op games. I really enjoy it. I feel like so much of gaming is a social endeavor, you know?
I
also like the idea of challenge rooms for leaderboards and things. Clear this one, you know, this is clear the room the fastest, that sort of thing.
Arcade mode.
Yep, totally. There's a lot of things that come to, I mean, you're mixing pinball and breakout and that sort of thing together. And so there's a lot of aspects of way to go. Pinball is a strictly points-based objective.
Yeah.
So, you know, why not include that in there as well?
I'm a huge fan of, like, the speedrunning scene, too, so I love thinking about that.
Yeah.
Trial run.
I don't know if any of your guys who were, well, your guys, the one guy. The other guy who was in Seattle got a chance to play any pinball up there, but Seattle's got a lot of good pinball spots.
Nice.
So hopefully he was able to enjoy some of those. Probably not, considering he was the only one from the studio who was there and had to be at the booth all 4 days. So
back to the trial.
Yeah, how was the response from? Did you show this game off at PAX? PAX East?
Yeah, I was at East and I did Gamescom as well, but I didn't have to man the floor at Gamescom. That was like for press and interviews and stuff like that.
Well, PAX
East, we announced it at GDC, so both of us were at GDC. We were part of the Nindies Direct showcase when we first announced the game, and that's where we first got people to, like, sit down and play it, which was, like, really terrifying, probably more terrifying than release, because we had this weird game, and we're like, is anybody going to even pick it up or, like, know how it plays? What's the response going to be? And GDC, like, kind of showed us that people could figure out how to get into it. And they gave us, obviously, tons of feedback on, like, it's weird that I have to do this, or I should be able to hold down the charge button. That's like one of the main pieces of feedback from GDC, you know?
Yep. First time I heard about your game was from a Nintendo Direct.
Yeah. That's like, you're not alone. That was a huge deal for us.
Yeah, when they ran their whatever package it is of the games coming to the Nintendo, the indie games. Yeah.
Showcase or whatever.
Exactly. And it was that was the first time I saw it, and I thought, obviously, the look of it is the first thing that you take into account. And I said, oh, it looks really, really good. I like the thought of whatever it is they're doing here. But I still didn't relate it enough to think, it looks like pinball. No, he's just bouncing the thing around. That's all I got from the little splash footage that they showed. Yeah. And, of course, when I got contacted for PAX, I said, yeah, that's one I want to see. So, I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed it a ton there. And have you, in your venture to Gamescom and in your venture to PAX East at least, and maybe if you heard from Andrew or the other guy over at PAX West, Adam, have you and he seen any other games while you're doing these things that kind of caught your attention?
Gosh, good question.
I mean, I know you've been strictly
wander around a whole lot.
Yeah, I know you've been strictly focused on your game.
I know, Seth.
I'm just curious if something else you saw that was like, oh, wow, I really loved what they were doing.
Yeah, so we actually discovered Katana Zero at GDC and then again at PAX because they had these massive, awesome booths by Devolver, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So that was cool. And then we started following that just purely because we had seen it. And we actually met the Katana Zero developer who's also actually in Montreal along with Adam and I. So that was cool. Kind of put that on our radar. I'm trying to think if there's anything else we've seen.
Well, your booth was in good company over at in PAX West, because on one side of you, I think you had Prey to the Gods, which was fantastic, and then on another side of you, I believe not too far down, was a game that I really enjoyed, which was Superliminal.
Yeah.
So you had good company all around, and so
we're connected to this marketing team called Pop Agenda, and they actually represent a lot of cool games. And we've discovered through them as well, like Bloodroots and Mutazione. I don't know if you've seen those.
Mm-mm.
Mutazione is like this cool story art game. It's just like really beautiful. You should check it out.
What's the name of it again?
It's like Mutation, but in Italian, Mutazione, like with a Z.
Oh, okay. I'll have to Google that then.
Pretty cool.
Well, Bo, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. I really appreciate it. I am enjoying your game. When my Switch isn't broken.
You're going to buy a new Switch, boot it up the game, and it's just going
to crash. No. It has nothing to do with your game, because I played. So I updated the system this morning. The system needed an update, so I updated that, and I played your game. I played your game all the way through the four first pylons of the thing and had no issue whatsoever. It wasn't obviously until I brought it here to the studio and said, okay, I'm going to play it a little bit now and turned it on, and it was, you know,
it didn't like the studio.
Yeah. And by the way, I didn't just stop your game in the middle. I totally went back to the menu and I closed the game.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And then turned it off and brought it with
game
me. So it had nothing to do.
Yeah. That's just bad luck.
Yeah. It has nothing to do with your game. And please, anybody listening, don't be worried about downloading this game. Plenty of people have downloaded it. It's fine.
Play it.
Yeah. It's not going to brick your system.
Perfectly
it's,
safe.
It is. It's perfectly safe. Oh, is there, I wanted to ask you, is there a update going out to the Xbox game?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
good.
Yeah, we're doing a bunch of patches, actually, just based on, like, day one issues that people were reporting, things like that.
Yeah, there's no problem. I would let everybody know, there's no problem. First off, if you've got Xbox Game Pass, you're getting the game for free, so stop complaining. But if you play the Xbox Game Pass version, or the one on the Xbox, everything's fine. The game plays fine. There's just no audio there at the beginning.
Right, the cutscene, yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the big one we heard of. So, like, cool, yeah, we'll fix that right away. It's fixed. We're just waiting on patch submission stuff.
Exactly. I know, and it takes a while to do that when you're going through
Yeah, it really does.
Places like Microsoft.
Not every platform is, you know, like Steam, where you just can, like, push it immediately and just be like, cool.
Is Nintendo pretty good about that, or do you have to go through certification?
They're very fast, yeah. Like, we had a patch we wanted to get through on day one, because we were fixing, like, another last-minute issue or something.
Mm-hmm.
And we were just talking to the right people, and they helped us, like, push it through a little bit quicker and get it out on the first day, which was, like, a huge deal.
Yeah, I was just curious. I know that I hear everybody talk about, well, the patch has to go through certification on Microsoft, and it takes a while to do that. I was curious if Nintendo was any faster or if it just went through the same sort of channels.
It's
so
very similar. All the consoles are very similar. It's a good and a bad thing, right? Like, they're obviously doing, like, a kind of a full QA path on your game, which is, like, really nice to have, and it ensures that the quality bar is good on every console platform. That QA path doesn't exist on some other, you know, on non-console platforms a lot of the time. So it's cool, but it also, you know, adds that time delay, obviously.
Yeah. What, real quick, before we let you go, any idea what you guys are working on next?
Maybe.
All right.
Yeah, we've got some stuff. That's kind of our jam. We're like, we like to, you know, just work on the next thing or, like, keep it going. So before we had even finished this game, we kind of had some stuff being drummed up and in the work. That's kind of what we're getting started on.
When might we hear any kind of idea of what that might be?
You know, I'm not sure.
Okay, that's fine. I know it's early in that process.
Yeah,
so
very early.
Exactly. I don't expect you to have any idea on that. It's always fun to know what, especially on a game that I enjoyed so much, what else is coming from you guys down the line.
Yeah.
So we'll keep an eye on you, though.
Just as weird and new and cool looking.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you.
I really appreciate it. And best of luck to you and the other guy.
And the other guy.
You guys have a Twitter, or do you have a Twitter anyone could follow?
Yep. Yeah, check us out at Creature Well.
Yeah, at Creature Well on
the
Twitter.
The game's Twitter page. You can find all of us through there.
Cool.
Adam and myself.
Yep. Thank you again, man. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Later.
Bye-bye. Bye. If you want to check out Creature in the Well, you can. Just go to YouTube. You can see the trailers for that if you want to. Again, if you've got Xbox Game Pass or the PC Pass,
you can
play it on PC or on your console for, you know, the Xbox Game Pass, which, by the way, is fantastic. That's how I played What Remains of Edith Finch,
mm-hmm.
Which I didn't like, by the way. I felt like Gone Home was better. It did a lot of what Gone Home was doing, and I liked what Gone Home did better than what that did, but that's neither here nor there. Creature of the Well is on Xbox Game Pass, PC, console, and Nintendo Switch. So make sure you check that out. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll have the rest of in-game chat. We're still highlighting the music of Kenji Ito, and this track comes from Puzzle and Dragons Z. And we'll be right back right after this. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to In-Game Chat. Matt trying to figure out what this music is. Maybe and you're too. Very close.
Is it a Final Fantasy?
You were right earlier with the name
of it. Chocobo?
Yeah.
Chocobo Racing?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, I'm like, this sounds like the Chocobo theme.
Chocobo Racing, Kenji Ito.
Which one, two, the first one?
The first one.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's a more energetic, you know, version of it. I'm used to the, but yeah, I was like, I know this. When you know a song, because mm-hmm. you hear it so much, but you're just trying to place it. Yeah.
Nate had to leave, so it is back down to just the three of us here. And we have
rotating his camera towards me.
Yeah, we have Chris calling back because I hung up on him. And Chris, I apologize so much, man.
I don't worry about it. At first, I thought it was my oh my, and I looked at the phone and said, no, the counter is still ticking. I guess they all pressed the wrong button.
It was. The developer called in. And when I went to put him on hold, I actually put him on the air. And that cuts you off, and so I am so terribly sorry. But thank you for calling back. Where I don't even know where we were. We're talking about Borderlands.
Yeah, something like that.
I can't remember now either.
So, I was in the middle of a question about Shooty Borderlands Bangy. 3.
Yes, you were asking if there's a support.
I was
character.
Asking if there's a type of support character, anything similar to Roland or Axton from 1 and 2 in the Borderlands 3.
Well, so far, let's see. I think I've got Zane or whatever his name is.
Yeah, I think it's Zane.
Yeah. Mm. Anyway, but you know. The cool thing is about him, you can actually equip and use two of his action skills at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them creates a digital clone of himself, and, you know, it's just shooting your weapons, you know, shooting at the enemies. But you have all these different skills that can affect, you know, it has a chance to throw a grenade, and you can swap places with it. And if you can swap places with him, and your shield will immediately begin recharging.
Mm-hmm.
But the cool one, like the last one, the clone is equipped with a copy of Zane's current weapon when activated, and swapping places with the clone causes Zane and his clone to gain increased gun damage.
Mm-hmm. Does Zane do the shield?
Yeah, he does a shield that blocks enemy fire, but you can fire you and your teammates can fire through it.
Didn't Roland have like a shield or a...
Roland's Scorpio turret had a shield on it, but what I used it for mostly was to resupply my bullets and regain health. But it also helped my partners as well on screen.
See, I'm wondering if the shield power, if you could upgrade it to where it would do more of a support.
Yeah, it sounds like I was thinking about earlier. Zane, his name was.
I believe it is.
It sounds like an improved version of what Zero did, because I remember going invisible with Zero, and there was a clone left behind, and everyone was focusing on the image, well, kind of the image that he left behind while he was going off to do something else. But this clone is more functional, sounds like, in 3.
Because I know Flack.
Flack.
He could go invisible like Zero as well.
Mm-hmm.
So you could actually turn invisible with that and then, like, shoot. You get, mm-hmm. like, 3 shots on people before your invisibility runs out.
Yeah,
if you go that route.
Mm-hmm. We were talking earlier about the siren in this. The siren is more of a brute now than anything else than her earlier incarnations in 1 and 2. Now, have you noticed that?
Yeah, that's what I saw. You know, looking and doing some research. You know, she's like a up close personal character, and you know, right in your face type. But
kind of like Brick.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, it was jarring for me for a siren to be that. I mean, I thought the siren was like control the field and do things like that, but she's like
she's
Brick.
More of a, yeah.
She's like Brick, a brawler.
Get in the middle of the action and start punching.
Mm-hmm.
But the interesting thing, the other character, the lady that summons the big, you know, the walking tank, that you can actually, when you're playing with teammates, you know, the main character, you know, your character, that, you know, her, you can also, it has a second seat for your...
When your teammates could actually be like turreted, you know.
Yeah. So it's like a catch a ride, basically.
I've heard it described more of Titanfall without the wall, wall running.
Mm.
If you think of like your Titan in Titanfall, it's more of that minus the parkoury wall, wall run.
Yeah.
Well, Chris, thank you for calling, man. We appreciate it, and thanks for calling back. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
So. You take care, and we'll talk to you next week, all right?
Thanks, man.
All right.
Take care
now.
See
ya.
All right, bye.
I miss Titanfall, by the way. And I hate that they're working on... it's great, and I hate that they're working on Apex Legends. Because Apex Legends is going to... It is going to earn them a ton of money so that they can continue working
on Apex
Legends. Yes.
Kind of like Fortnite.
Yeah, and they're also... They're the ones who did the Star Wars game, too, isn't it?
Which Star Wars? Which
one? The one coming out.
Are they?
Respawn?
Respawn?
Was that Respawn? Yeah, I'm... Okay, Titanfall was... developed by Respawn Entertainment.
Yeah.
Respawn Entertainment is...
Are they doing Jedi Fallen Order?
...is working on... Yep, they are.
Okay.
They did Titanfall, Titanfall 2. They did a Titanfall assault game on cell phones. And then they did Apex Legends. And now they're working on Jedi Fallen Order. So we will never see Titanfall ever again. Sadly.
So it goes.
I know. Yeah. Let's see. Did I play anything else?
If you get your Switch fix, are you going to pick up Link's Awakening?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Totally.
Did you ever play that on the... Mm-mm. So you've never played it?
The only Zelda game I have ever played with any sort of cognizant reasoning of playing the game is Wind Waker on the GameCube.
Okay.
That is it. I did not play. I played Legend of Zelda back on the NES days, but it did not hold my attention. For me, Legend of Zelda on the NES was boring.
Now, did you play it when it first came out?
Yes.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. It was boring to me.
Really? Because back in the 80s, that was like, I mean, that's...
I did not like it. I felt like I was lost the entire time.
Well, because you were.
Yeah, and I didn't like that. I didn't like that feeling. I wanted a game, I wanted something way more linear. And that was not it for me. That felt...
Zelda 2, I guess, would...
I hated that because I would go in dungeons and I was like, I can't tell if I've been here before because they were very similar. Mm. And so when I would go into one, I was like, I don't know if I'm here. And then I would come out and I would walk around the land and there would be enemies everywhere as you're walking through. And then I would turn around and go back and the enemies would respawn. And I just did not like... Oh, man, I didn't like it at all. Mm-hmm. Now, Metroid, I did, even though it had some of the same abilities where it's like, I feel lost.
Mm-hmm.
But...
You had a map in that game, though, didn't you?
You did.
Yeah.
That's why, yeah.
I believe, when they were developing the two games, they had ideas that would go to Metroid, other ideas that went to Zelda.
Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. keep in mind, when I played Zelda, I was playing games like Punch-Out, Super Mario, Mega Man. And so these... let's stick with Mario and Mega Man. Very linear.
Yes.
You know, and here's this Zelda game.
You go right.
Yeah. Here's a Zelda game that I can't figure out.
You go question mark?
Oh, man.
Yeah.
It was tough for me to wrap my head around at the age of, 10?
Yeah. Now, you did Breath of the Wild, correct?
No. I own it, but I haven't played it.
Really?
I know. Yeah. I mean, see the case and everything else. I do have the game, but I never started playing it.
Wow.
By the time... I wanted to put some time into it, but I knew I was going to be putting some time into it when I did that. So I played Mario Kart on the Switch for a long time. And then by the time I got around to thinking, hey, let's put some time into a game, Mario Odyssey was out. And so I put some time into that as far as Switch games are concerned. I really haven't built up too much of a library in my Switch, with the exception of, I got, was it six, seven, I have eight games.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. You know? And that runs from Breath of the Wild, Mario Odyssey, Mario Kart, Mario Rabbids, Bomberman, and Diablo 3, plus Mario Maker 2. On the digital side, I have Bayonetta. I have Bayonetta 2 here. Where's that Bayonetta? No, that's Bayonetta. I don't know what this is, because I bought the...
Let's see.
Oh, it is 2. It is 2. I'm sorry, it's 2. I couldn't see the 2. It's like that. Is that it? It's like a crescent moon. No, it's a 2.
Yeah, you could tell the font for Bayonetta was red, and the one for 2 was blue. So you could tell that.
Right, I had the Bayonetta I got digitally, because I bought the Steelbook version of that one, which was only available...
Yeah, they give you the 1 and 2.
Yeah, overseas, so...
Link's Awakening is... Because I played that back on the Game Boy when it first came out, mm-hmm. In the 90s, early 90s. And it's still one of my favorites, just because it's different. You know, you're not fighting Ganon, and just the, you know, it's...
Yeah, so it stood out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And plus the ending, you know, like the idea of it and everything was, I mean, it just captured my imagination, and I really like it. You know, the sort of, you know, questions in a way that, you know, it sort of invokes.
Don't spoil me.
I'm not. Even. Yeah, that's what I'm trying to be.
Yeah.
Without getting into it, you know, but it's an interesting, really, I had a really good time with that game. And to me, that's like, I see that on the Switch, and I'm like, I really want that.
Well, I mean, I really would like to have it, too. I may have to hold off on playing it, depending on how this goes on my Switch here. So we'll see how that all plays out. I'll have an update for you. It's not been a good week for me as far as things. Thursday night, we were talking in Google chat with like the rest of the group here, and I did not get, you know what? I didn't get to his emails, and I wanted to, especially since he was talking about Borderlands. So, yeah. Daniel, we're going to get to your emails next week. You feel free to send more, but we will get to your emails next week. I've starred them in my inbox here so I can talk about them. But Thursday, we were talking about Destiny and how, hey, you know, what games are coming out in October, and it's like, oh, I'm going to be on the Destiny hamster wheel again, and James said, yeah, he was planning on doing that too, so that's when I threw out the Discord to you guys, completely forgot about telling you. And so I'm looking at our Discord for the clan, and James is playing. I thought, oh, let me see where he's at. So I fire up the Blizzard client, and it tells me to log in. I was like, that's strange. So I tried to log in, and it said, this email address does not, we don't recognize this as having an account with Blizzard. And I was like, that's strange.
That's weird. Let me try. I thought I did.
No, that's more than strange. That sums up.
So I tried a different password, and same thing. Then I tried different emails.
Were you originally thinking, did I just change the password and think about it? Or?
Well, I thought maybe, did I capitalize this, or did I leave this lower? I didn't know.
No, I mean, so, as often as he plays Destiny, no.
Yeah,
he normally plays it on the console.
Mm-mm. No.
I thought no,
dude. No, PC. He stopped playing PS4 a while ago.
I stopped playing that whenever the PC released. Yeah.
Okay.
I do. It's all PC now. Yeah. Now I have cross save, so I can play on the console with my characters. Mm-hmm. But so anyway, it didn't recognize any of my emails, and I thought, oh boy, this is bad.
Mm-hmm.
I went to the Bungie website. And I looked at my characters, and I was like, okay, good, they're still there.
Yeah.
I couldn't log into my Blizzard account through there, but I logged into my PSN account, and it showed that I had a Blizzard account with it, and it was linked, and everything was good. And I thought, okay, well, it's good that they're still there. Now, a couple of refreshes afterwards, and it said, no, we don't see this. We don't see your characters on Blizzard anymore. And I thought, oh, no. Mm-hmm. I was really worried about this. So it turns out that my account did get hacked. It took a lot of effort to get my. It took a lot of effort to get somebody from Blizzard to talk to me, but once they did, they were really great. They were fantastic. They looked at everything. They were able to find out that somebody logged into your account because we can see that they. It went straight to China immediately after the email changed. The email got changed to some long string of letters and numbers at i3p.com or something like that. Everything had changed. They said, we see somebody took your account immediately after they changed the email. They switched it over to China. And they said it's probably somebody just trying to do some gold farming, tried to get your account and was going to take all your gold. And I said, well, joke's on them because I don't play WoW. So they said, that seems to be the case. They realized you don't play WoW, and so they've just left it alone. They're not doing anything with it. I said, oh, that's good. And I said, well, it is good, and I'm glad you're looking at it, because a lot of the cases with this is that if they come back to this account and realize that you haven't tried to resolve the issue, they'll look to just sell your account to somebody else. Mm. Even though there's no gold there, they can still sell it off.
Yeah.
And so,
they'll try to get something from it.
Yeah. They were able to reset everything back to normal, which I changed passwords galore pretty much everywhere. Enabled two-factor authentication.
I think I had that on my Blizzard.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you don't, you should set it up. Because
I've used their Blizzard two-factor whatever. And
I had it a long time ago for Diablo 3. Mm-hmm. When I started playing Destiny again, it told me, hey, you need to disable your authenticator because it's been so long in between.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to actually remove the authenticator from my account, and I never put it back. I just thought, oh, nobody uses the authenticator anymore. They have some other way of doing it. But I never cared. I never thought about it.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'm protected now, and we are out of time. Thank you, everybody, for joining us in the chat room and listening on the stream and on the radio. Thank you to everybody who grabs us each week from iTunes and however you get our show for later use. We do appreciate it. Go to ingamechat.net. Join us on Twitter, Facebook. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. If you're watching us on Twitch, subscribe there as well. If you're on Steam, join our group. Join our clan for Destiny 2 with the new free-to-play options coming up in October and the new expansion coming up in October. You can join our clan. Just hit me up if you want to do that, and I can send you an invite to it. So thank you guys so much for joining us. Have a great week. We will see you next Saturday. Here is music from Kenji Ito, and the game is Sword of Mana. We will see you next Saturday.